If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
For all you sports animal listeners, we are here at the Food City in Clinton. They have a lot going on here at Food City. We'll continue to tell you about that here as the show goes on. And it's a big-ticket opportunity thanks to Food City and Body Armor. I'm going with the orange mango body armor right now. Absolutely fantastic. And they're cold on ice, and you can sign up when you get here. Come on by.
We are here, Food City, Charles Severs Boulevard here in Clinton. Come in and sign up. And it's time for the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to our friends at Craven Wings. Two locations at Craven Wings. South North Shore at Choto with great specials each night of the week. Wing Wednesday. And more. Kids eat free Monday through Thursday as well at the South North Shore location. Also, Chapman Highway in Seymour. More coming soon with Craven Wings. Coming up, Big Topic Wednesday. Who is the most important position coach for Tennessee in 2022? We'll give you the VFL update. Not just baseball, but where are the Vols and former Vols in the NBA Summer League. We'll tell you that coming up as well. Dive into that. And then coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, inside 100 days to college football, the SEC head coach rankings. Eric's going to be mad.
They're just wrong.
Mike Leach is overvalued. I'm just going to tell
you. He's overvalued every day of his life.
That's Eric Gage, ladies and gentlemen.
Every day of his life, he's
noted
overvalued. Has
Mike
been his
Leach
entire
Hager.
Career.
Eric Gage. All right. 656-9900, 866-656-9900, if you would like to join us here on the Eric Gage Show. What member of Tennessee's coaching staff is most important, both overall, but particularly for the 2022 season? Josh Heupel's the head coach. Tim Banks, defensive coordinator. Mike Eckler, outside linebackers and special teams coach. Glenn Ellerby on the offensive line. Rodney Garner on the defensive line. Alex Golish, the offensive coordinator and tight ends coach. Joey Halsey, the quarterback's coach. Brian John Mareri, the linebacker's coach. Jerry Mack, running back. Willie Martinez, the secondary coach. And Kelsey Pope, the wide receiver's coach. Eric Ainge, who is the most important coach for Tennessee in 2022?
It's to me, it's down to three options.
Okay.
It's down to wide receiver, defensive back, and offensive line. You could make an argument every single year for every single football team at every single level that the most important position coach is the offensive line coach. Because without one, your team sucks. So that's probably – I'm going to take that off the board because I think that's the generic answer is offensive line.
Okay.
So LRB's out. Which brings it to two. Wide receiver and defensive back. I lean wide receiver because we lost a lot. So you got to get a whole new set of guys ready to play. But we didn't lose games last year because of wide receiver play. And we're not going to lose games this year because of wide receiver play. Mm-hmm. To me, the answer is Willie Martinez and the defensive backs. Not just the Purdue game, but all year long, our DBs had a really hard time covering. And they were okay tackling in space. Blaming the linebackers for quarterback runs is low-hanging fruit, in my opinion.
Okay.
The defensive backs are the ones that need to get involved in that. There's always, no matter what coverage you're in, unless it's man-to-man, which we didn't hardly play any of, there are different defensive backs with different run responsibilities that need to get their nose dirty and get down in there and make some plays. And then we all know how much we struggled covering, you know, just outside in general. A lot of penalties, a lot of open receivers, not a ton of busts. I'll give Martinez that. We didn't have a bunch of just blown coverages where guys are running by themselves against our DBs. But we just didn't have we just weren't good at covering. And when I look at the teams we're going to play this year, we can't have a defensive backfield that can't cover. We can't have a defensive backfield that's getting penalties. Mm-hmm. We need to be – and we don't have to be great. Gosh, we don't have a single lockdown man-to-man corner. Even Alante wasn't. He's got drafted as a safety, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. He was a zone corner, which is valuable, but if you can't play man, it For reference, I remember playing against teams that had pretty good DBs, but they couldn't play man coverage very well, which means they're in zone. And if you're a smart quarterback and have a good run game, you can pick that apart all day long. Game plan-wise, you'd play those teams like you play like a Florida, who can play all the man-to-man they want. And they've got a good defensive front. And you go, well, all right, well, what are we going to try? What are we doing then? Because they're playing they're locked down outside, and their defensive front pushes the pocket. So what's the goal here? What are we trying to get done? It makes the plan so much harder. It's one of the first things you look at when you're putting a game plan together. Can they cover us man-to-man? Is it because their guys aren't good? Is it because our guys are great? Is it because of both? But when you get that, most teams, they get afraid. Like us last year, we were afraid to play man-to-man. We didn't hardly play any of it. Why? Because we didn't think we could do it. Which means you make it that much easier on the other team to throw the ball against you. You don't see a lot of man-to-man against our guys. You spread them out too far, and you got a running quarterback. You know, you don't. We won't see a ton of it on offense. We won't see a ton of man-to-man. I just feel like it's got to be Willie Martinez. Well, one of the answers. This is one of those questions where I don't think there's one answer. But if you made me pick one, the most important, it would be Willie Martinez coaching up the defensive backs so we can be more versatile in our coverages and tackle better and cover better in the back end.
656-9900, 866-656-9900. If you want to join us, who is the most important assistant coach for Tennessee this year? I'll give you my answer. Logan's going to weigh in. We'll take your phone calls as well. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. We return to the Food City in Clinton. Come and see us. Sign up for the Big Ticket 2022. Your opportunity to win season tickets to Tennessee football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball, and the Knoxville Ice Bears. We will pick two finalists before we go off the air today. It's the Eric Cain Show. We return next.
Welcome back into the Eric Cain Show. Right here at Food City in Clinton, Big Ticket 2022 opportunity for you. Always a good opportunity to come to Food City no matter where it is. You can't sign up for the Big Ticket anywhere else, but you can go and you can get the certified Angus beefsteak that they have there. They also have an excellent selection of meat and seafood, perfect for grilling and everything else you need right here at your local Food City.
And they have a butcher in all their locations. It's not like some commissary somewhere chops it up and sends it out to all the locations.
No, it's old school here.
They have a butcher in every location that if you need a specific cut of meat, you can talk to the butcher and get it done. Right here, Food City, Seavers Boulevard in Clinton, and sign up for the Big Ticket 2022. Who is the most important assistant coach for Tennessee in 2022? 656-9900, 866-656-9900. You went, Eric, with?
Defensive backs, Willie Martinez.
Logan, do you have a thought on who is the most important assistant coach for Tennessee coming into this year?
Yeah, I think it's Tim Banks just because, I mean, we've talked all offseason, you know, everyone on this station, especially us three. If the defense can take a step, even if it's just a slight step and just being more consistent from game one to game 12, all of a sudden those, you know, third down conversions that Ole Miss and Alabama have, and they were all third and eight and long, you get off the field a whole lot more there. You can suddenly potentially even win those games. So I think if Tennessee can just be more consistent from game one all the way to game 12, I think it's 100% Tim Banks, because if they can be more consistent and just take a slight step and be more better depth-wise and on the field, Tennessee can win 10 games.
865-656-9900 if you want to weigh in. I agree that defense overall is going to be most important, because it is not a large step that has to be made for Tennessee to be significantly better. To me, I'm going to take it back to offense. I'm going to go with Jerry Mack, running backs coach.
No, show your work.
In this system, as we've talked about since the day Josh Heupel was hired, the run game and the running backs have been the difference between how successful a Josh Heupel offense is or not. The passing game gets all the attention. The rushing game is the biggest indicator of how well it is working. I think with what you have returning at running back, what you've brought in at running back, and what you have to replace at running back, with Tyon Evans leaving after being one of your most consistent players for the middle portion of the year, I think what Jerry Mack can get out of his running backs could be the difference in how successful Tennessee can be. You know what you have at quarterback. You know what you have at wide receiver. How well do you develop your running backs? So that's
you got to have a lot of depth. That is an important room. You can't have a slowdown or a step down from when the starter goes in to the backup to the third string guy, because they're all getting reps.
Yeah, you can't just get one guy ready. And that's why I think his development as a position coach is a big part of that. Let's talk to Nick. Nick, you're on the Eric Haynes Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Angel, I agree with you. It's got to be Willie Martinez. You look everywhere else on the team, and, yeah, you could have your gripes with just about any position, but I think the defensive backs, even more than the linebackers, they got to step up this year. Like you said, they didn't have too many just blown coverages, but you saw a lot of guys – especially in the Kentucky game that almost cost us the game, just completely out of position, leaving guys wide open. He's not getting behind you, but, you know, you're still not anywhere near him, and he's running underneath, and the guy's wide open. And
first down.
All day, man. So I think it's got to be Willie Martinez. Hopefully – these guys that you brought in, like Brandon Turnage and Kamal Haddon from last year, hopefully they can step up big. Didn't they bring in one of the top JUCO corners as well? Or am I making that up?
No, I think so.
Go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I was just going to say, watching them this spring, they looked improved. I know it's spring practice. I know people don't value it all that much, but watching a scrimmage where they're going against the other side of the ball and they're making plays. I mean, they knocked two balls down deep in deep diving, knocking, making plays on the football. We didn't see that at all last year. Anyway, go ahead.
Right, and if you're making comparison from last spring practice to this year's spring practice, even if it is a spring practice, you still want to see some sort of improvement, regardless of what the setting is. But the expansion. Brian, you made a comment the other day that I agree with that.
Brian said something that someone agrees with. Hold on. Brian said something that someone agrees with. Nick, you're the first ever.
Logan, go ahead and record this.
Yeah.
Cue it up for us. You said something about how, you know, they're doing all this moving around for the money and all that. Well, eventually you're going to sour your product. And then you're going to lose that money that you thought you were going to be getting from all this moving around. I think it's not only bad for college football, I think it's bad for college athletics as a whole, because you're losing the rivalry aspect, the traditional aspect, things like that. So I really hate to see it. But hopefully it won't be as bad as we all think it is. We'll see what happens. But thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Hey, we appreciate it. I think to that point, it reminds me so much of NASCAR in the 90s and into the early 2000s, where you got away with the things that made your sport different and made your sport ring true to its most passionate fans. Your pursuit of money and your pursuit of new fans caused you to leave people that had supported your product and were your P1s in the dust. And your sports never recovered from it. I don't want that to happen to college football, because I love college football and college sports as a whole. Let's talk next to Weston. Weston, you're on the Eric Haynes Show. Good morning. Weston, are you with us?
Green, 65. Hut. He's not there. It worked.
Weston, you with us?
It worked.
Okay, let's go to James next. James, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning.
Yeah. I think strength and conditioning is a big key for the type of play that the Heupel offense and defense run. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Eric, I think that's a really good point with the entire coaching staff or the entire strength and conditioning staff. We haven't heard them be as front and center as you have seen them be in some coaching staffs. This strength and conditioning staff seems to like to do it kind of behind the scenes. Does that mean anything positive or negative?
Jacob Warren and I did an event at Athletic Republic Knoxville 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he had come from summer workouts, mm-hmm. and I was like, how were they? And he just made a face. Like, do you really want to know? It was awful. Face. That, and my gut reaction to that was perfect.
Love it. Yep.
Yeah. Nice. Make it even harder. That's a good one. I like that one.
Your strength and conditioning staff can make it all the difference here as you get ready for the season. Now let's talk to Weston. Weston, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Doing great.
Good. My thing is, I think everybody should be a part, and I think everybody's special on this team. I think all the coaches have a role to play. And my second thing, I know how to beat Alabama, coach. That's how it's going to be. Y'all want to know? Take
yes.
the Alabama playbook from the Madden 2006 game. Look at the Nick Saban playbook that he runs. Then you look at how he runs things now. Compare it then compare it now. And if you know what you're doing, I see what he do. You can beat him with his own playbook, Madden 2006.
All right, Weston, we appreciate it. Hey, I think, Eric, what Nick Saban's done has evolved quite a bit, particularly on offense, but his defensive philosophies are very similar. But I think the challenge is executing them the same way his teams do, because there have been a lot of coaches, excuse me, that have spent a lot of time breaking down on film what he does, and they haven't been able to crack the code.
Well, those playbooks on video games aren't real. That's the only problem there. So, it wouldn't work. But
even if you do have the playbook, though, even if you do have, based on what you're seeing on film, if you've recreated it, the challenge is running it the same way his teams, coached by him, do. That's where you have a disconnect as well.
I wish it were that easy.
Yeah.
Just go play some video games and beat Bama. Everyone would have already done it.
They're,
you know, Kirby Smart's in there. That's how we're going to get him again this year.
They're a little oversimplified. So you can call them and run them again.
I feel like what Weston did say that was spot on is that everyone's important. And it's football, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can be right and the DBs can take a huge step forward, but if the offensive line takes a step back, then guess what? We're still 7-5. So when you do these projections in these games that we're playing right now, it's all with the assumption that the units that were good last year are also going to be good this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not always how football works. I think it's safe to say that at quarterback we're going to be pretty strong. Wide receiver was a huge room for us last year. There's a lot of questions there. Are we going to get the same kind of production out of the wide receivers this year that we got last year? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Then you talk about those other units that you needed to get better. Well, they better get better, because it's not a guarantee that every position group – like, the defensive line last year played really good. They really did. I mean, they were, like, leaders in tackle for loss, disruptive, did a lot of really good things. Are we going to be as good up front on defense this year as we were last year? I'd like to think so, if not better.
Yeah.
If not better. But you don't know that. You know? The offensive line takes a step back, and then everyone's going to be Hammer and Hendon Hooker. Why did he take a step back? He was a Heisman Trophy finalist. Well, he's running for his life every time he drops back to throw the football. Well, no, he's not as good as he was last year. So you have to have the assumption that all the good players play good again, all the units play good again, and then we have this conversation of the ones that struggled, who's the most important one? Because then it'd be low-hanging fruit for us to say quarterback, right? Joey Halsey.
Right.
Or Golish. I like going with the true position coaches more, but that's low-hanging fruit because if Hendon Hooker doesn't play good, then we're not any good. There's a lot of pressure on him.
We'll come back. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. Who is the most important coach for Tennessee's success in 2022? More on that next. We have a VFL and the pros update as well on the Eric Haynes Show.
The Pac-12 announced yesterday they are pushing up their negotiation window for the next media rights agreement with Fox and ESPN. This comes with UCLA and USC leaving the conference for the Big Ten. In Major League Baseball, the Braves down the Cardinals 7-1. The Cubs got by the Brewers 8-3. The Reds took down the Mets 1-0, and the Yankees fell to the Pirates 5-2. In the NBA Summer League, former Vol Kennedy Chandler scored 8 points, 4 assists for the Grizzlies last night. He also signed a 4-year, $7.1 million rookie deal with 4.9 fully guaranteed, and Jane Springer scored 12 points and 3 rebounds for the 76ers. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
865-656-9900 if you want to join us here for Big Topic Wednesday on the Eric Haynes Show. And we're here at the Food City in Clinton, ready for you to come on by and sign up for the Big Ticket 2022.
So Jeremy has a good question related to this on Twitter. Okay, look at it like this, and your answer may still be the same, and I think it probably will be. What your season prediction is, then what group has to do more, has to do the best to get one more win than your season prediction? Is it still the defensive backs for you? Let's say you have Tennessee going 9-3. What position plays better to get them to 10-2? For Jeremy, it's 8-4, but if the linebacker room improves, they could get them to 9-3. What about for you? If you're at 9-3, what do they have to do? Who has to play better for them to get to 10-2?
Well, Logan, I'm curious what Brian's going to say here to get him to go to 12-0 from 11-1. So, you know, we'll have to just wait and see on that one. But to me, it is still the defensive backs. In general, if you're can't get off the field on third down, and it's often because teams are throwing the football. Sure, there's some completions in there on the linebackers. Sure, you know, maybe the rush needs to be better to, you know, close the pocket down and make the quarterback think quick and get the ball out of his hand even faster, all that kind of stuff. But in general, it's football, right? It's why you play 7-on-7. It's the back end. If you're throwing the football and you're moving the chains or the quarterback is scrambling everywhere and running, it's just, to me, more on the defensive backs than anybody else. So if I said Tennessee needs to be better on third down in order to win one more game than my season prediction, then my answer would be then the defensive backs need to help them get off the field better. Mm-hmm. Too many third and longs that guys are converting. Those are the ones you have to get off. Listen, if we're playing somebody and they're killing us on first down and it's 3rd and 3, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4, and they're moving the chains on us, then that's just a normal day for them. You should be converting those. 3rd and 7 to 10, 3rd and 10 plus, if you can't get off the field, the defensive backs aren't doing their job. So I'm gonna say we're looking for, what, 2 or 3 more? Let's say 3 more third down stops a game. Mm-hmm. And if I'm saying 3rd and 7 to 10, if you give me 3rd and 7 to 10 or more, so 3rd and 7 or more, and we can get 3 more of those than we've been getting, that's 3 possessions with an offense that's going to be scoring more often than not. That is the difference in you winning and losing football games. So I'm not going to hammer the linebackers if on 3rd and 2 they run the ball and get a first down.
Right.
But on 3rd and 9, if they're throwing the ball down the field and catching it beyond the sticks for a first down and our guys are just barely getting there to make a tackle and it gets 4 yards a yak and it's a 14-yard gain on 3rd and 9,
But how important are the linebackers then if the defensive backs have it well covered like they did last year and the...
But I don't think they had it well covered.
Okay, then why did the quarterbacks pull it down and run and pick up the first down that way?
Well, a lot of the times it's because with the coverages that we're playing, we're dropping everybody into coverage. And when you're a linebacker on third and long, and your ball snapped, and you're turning and bailing, you take your eyes off the quarterback, you have a spot to get to, you're sprinting to your spot, you're leveling off, you're turning around, and then there's holes everywhere in zone coverage. And they were throwing a lot of them. We had a couple games where the quarterbacks were running the ball and getting first downs on us. And in those particular games, we had opportunities at linebacker to make those tackles. But if you watch a good running quarterback, watch Hinton Hooker. The linebacker, if it's in open space, rarely tackles an athletic quarterback. Even, I mean, unless you're like a first rounder out there just hawking dudes, running them down. If you're just a normal, good SEC linebacker and you're playing a dual threat quarterback because he's running, you still have to stay in coverage. Mm-hmm. You know, they put the ball up over their head and they're pump faking like they're going to throw the football, and you have to stay leveled off or they'll just toss it to the guy for a first down. It's an impossible situation to be in. I would say if the defensive backs are closer to the receiver, then the linebacker can just shoot and go make a tackle. Mm-hmm. But that's not happening. There's just, it's almost like a disconnect, not busting coverages, but like Nick said, guys are just open.
Yeah.
And they can't be open. You got to be able to cover them. And if they dial up some sweet wheel routes and little slant and goes, and they're calling good plays versus your coverages, I can let those go. But when you're just playing cover three and it's third and nine and you're dropping into coverage and there's three different guys he could throw the ball to or take off and run, we just can't have that this year. It almost seemed like after a while, like anything that you do, once you lose confidence in it, like we didn't have most defensive teams, when you get to third and nine, they're licking their chops. They can't wait to get off the field. It's all but a guarantee they're going to get off the field. And last year for us, it looked like we were playing on our heels, dropping back into zone coverage all the time, not being aggressive. You know, if we're playing man-to-man and Jeremy Banks is out there and the running back blocks and he no longer has a player to guard and he's spying the quarterback, Jeremy Banks will make that tackle. Jeremy Banks dropping into cover three, leveling off, trying to worry about route combinations, and then the quarterback's running at him, he's not going to make the tackle. Most guys don't.
My answer changes when you take when you change the way that we look at this. To me, running backs is still my answer to achieve the goals that you have set out for the year. Okay, to hit where you think you need to be, to get an extra win. I'm going to take it to Rodney Garner in the defensive line.
That's a good one. Safe pick.
If the defensive line is just a little bit more dominant, if the pass rush is just a little bit better, I think you get an extra win because they make a big play when one of those swing games is on the line.
If you want to be good on third down with your defensive backs, it's nice to get a pass rush.
Yep.
You can get a pass rush. And we got two guys coming off the edge this year that I think could be all-conference caliber players. Barron and Young are both really, really good.
I agree.
So that's
what can you get up the middle to complement them?
You lose a lot. You got a lot of production there up the middle that you don't have this year.
What can you get from who is there to help those guys? Because if they can double team guys off the edge, it hurts.
I thought about going D-line, but it's also like O-line to me. Like if your D-line is much improved, your whole football team's good. Your O-line is good. Your whole football team is good. But if you want to take some pressure off those defensive backs, yeah, your more sound unit, your more proven unit is the defensive front. You need production out of them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to have these guys dropping back into zone coverage again because we don't feel confident in them playing man-to-man, and we're going to go out there and we're going to play a bunch of zone and drop guys back, and it'll look a lot like it did last year. Mm-hmm. Because one thing we weren't very good at last year was straight up pinning our ears back and rushing the passer.
Yep.
We were disruptive in the middle. We set the edge well outside with our ends. We played the run pretty decent. And we made some noise every once in a while, but in general, we didn't, quote, live in the backfield. If our defensive line lives in the backfield this year, then our defense is going to be way better. I'm one of the people that is not worried about our linebackers. I'm not. I'm really not worried about our linebackers, unless the D-line sucks. then they're undersized and they're going to get hammered. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. D-line.
We will come back, wrap up this hour of the Hurricane Show next. We'll get our Vols and the Pros update thanks to Blue Water Climate Control. We will get you set for the final hour coming up as well. Wrap up Big Topic Wednesday next as we return to the Food City. We are here on Seavers Boulevard in Clinton. Come inside over the Big Ticket 2022. We have some free stuff on the table for you to take home with you as well. A couple baseballs are left, some koozies, stickers, and more. And while you're here at Food City, check out their offerings from Certified Angus Beef this week. Everything you need to make grilling fun, not just this holiday week, but all summer long. Also, some great specials right inside Food City as well. You can take home a free sample of body armor from right here at our position, right outside the Food City in Clinton on the Hurricane Show.
865-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Hurricane Show, live from Food City in Clinton. Had a lot of great people swing by today. It's always fun getting to meet people that are listeners coming out here when we do these remotes and these shows.
Absolutely. We appreciate all of that. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. Let's get a Vols and the Pros update. That's thanks to our friends at Blue Water Climate Control, 299-2290, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. If your AC is struggling, Blue Water can fix that problem. 299-2290, sign up for the big the smooth sailing service plan. And we will be, by the way, at the grand opening of their new world headquarters next Tuesday on the Sports Animal, and Evan Russell scheduled to join us there as well. So should
very
be
cool.
A lot of fun on Tuesday of next week. 656-9900 if you want to join us. But the Vols and the Pros update, we did a little pro baseball update last week. Nick Senzel still, by the way, killing it for the Cincinnati Reds. But we focus right now on the NBA Summer League. Seven VFLs are participating in this year's NBA Summer League. Mentioned Kennedy Chandler had a huge game last night for Memphis just after his contract was officially announced. But Chandler playing for the Memphis Grizzlies Summer League team. Keon Johnson had a big night last night for Portland as well. He appeared in 22 games last year for the Trail Blazers and is on their Summer League team this year. Kyle Alexander also on the Trail Blazers Summer League team. He spent this past year playing in Spain, but is getting a shot with Portland's Summer League team this year. Jordan Bone for the Celtics was in Turkey and Spain this past professional season. He's getting his shot at the NBA Summer League. Eve Pons is on the Brooklyn Nets Summer League team. Admiral Schofield will be playing for the Magic. And Jaden Springer, the 76ers. Of course, Springer spent most of the last half of the year up with the big club in Philadelphia after being a two-way player and also seeing time in the G League with the Delaware Bluecoats. So those are your seven VFLs competing in the NBA Summer League. Kyle Alexander, Jordan Bone, Kennedy Chandler, Keon Johnson, Eve Pons, Admiral Schofield, and Jaden Springer. You can check out that action on NBA TV and ESPN here over the next few weeks.
Good stuff.
Summer League games are kind of fun to watch. It's not like exhibition football. It's just those guys are going after it because a lot of them are trying to earn jobs and invites to real camp coming up.
Well, and basketball is different, too. It's just, I mean, watching any, even if it's just a pickup game, it's entertaining. Those guys play hard, though, in the Summer League, really hard.
Yeah.
They're trying to, like you said, they're trying to earn that spot, trying to make that money.
Yep.
All of them are good enough to play overseas. Most of them will still have NBA careers. Mm-hmm. But several of those guys still they haven't made the overseas trek yet, you know, like an Admiral Schofield, right? I mean, he's just been a roster G League guy.
He's been a two-way contract guy for the Magic and their yep. G League team, yeah. So a lot of those guys are getting after it. All right, let's wrap up the discussion on most important assistant coach for this year. You're staying with Willie Martinez no matter what the
parameters
are.
Yep, I'm staying with Willie.
I go with to achieve their goals as they're stated right now. I go with Jerry Mack at running back because I don't think you can have a successful season this year unless you have more than one running back that you can count on to get yards. But if we're changing the metric to what position group playing well can get you one more win, I go with the defensive line and Rodney Garner because I think a dominant pass rush can win you more swing games this year.
It just makes everything easier. Mm-hmm. You know, none of us – I would have picked Glenn Ellerbe in the offensive line, mm-hmm. but I chose to say that that's the answer every time.
Offensive line is always
it's always the answer because I don't care how good your quarterback, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends are. If you have a bad offensive line, you have a bad offense. So, I'll never forget Jim Chaney got asked that. You know, what's the plan if you don't have a good offensive line? And he laughed and said, "What?
I don't know
that I have one.
No.
And if you find one, let me know, because I think everyone in the world has been seeking that out here since football began. But offensive line is to me the answer, because I know defense needs to be better, right? We've said that. The defense needs to be better. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be like world beaters. They just need to be better. And that's all because we're saying the offense is going to be lighting folks up. The defense needs to be way better if the offense is just okay. We're all assuming that the offense is going to be super legit, high-flying, scoring tons of points, all that good stuff. So if that's the case, then the offensive line would also be my answer, because if we're going to say the O-line, the offense is what's going to win us games this year, the majority of them, mm-hmm. then the offensive line needs to be great. And I don't know that they're great right now. That's not true. They need to be really good. The system they play in allows it slows the defensive line down so much, and the D linemen get so tired that they're blocking guys that are a little gassed a lot. So you don't have to be great. Mm-hmm. But you need to be at least as good as you were last year, and they have some holes to plug. They got a lot of bodies in that offensive line room. We'll see what it looks like, but they do have some holes to plug.
Logan, you went with?
Yeah, so if we're talking just, you know, assistant coach, I said Tim Banks just because he's the defensive coordinator, and they have to be a whole lot better, especially from what we saw late last year. If we're just going position coach, I would say Kelsey Pope, because I've asked the question all offseason, Cedric Tillman and who else? It's time for Jalin Hyde to take the next step. We'll see if Abreu McCoy can come in and live up to the five-star hype. So if we're going off just a position coach, I would say Kelsey Pope.
I think he's got plenty to work with. You know, wide receivers in this offense too are kind of like, however good you are in this offense, you're better. Mm-hmm. The scheme alone puts so much pressure on the other side of the football that it makes you a better player than you probably are. Otherwise, Javonte Payton would have looked like that his entire career at Mississippi State. You know, there's a reason that we had two receivers last year that played NFL caliber football that looked okay. Mm-hmm. You know, Cedric Tillman didn't even look okay. Cedric Tillman wasn't even any good. Let's be honest, he was not good. And he was an all-conference caliber player. So I think – and then you brought in a lot of other bodies. Brew McCoy, I'm not going to put expectations on him for game one, because that's just a lot to learn really fast. But throughout the season and over the course of his career, I have as high of hopes for him as any player on our roster. Mm-hmm. So that would be great. If you start getting production out of him early – then you're talking about the wide receiver room not needing to step up. You're talking about them leading the charge. You put Tillman and Brew McCoy out there, mm-hmm. at the same time, and they're both playing good, high-flying, quick football. Whoo! I don't care who you put in the slot. Jalin Hyatt won't even play. I mean, he'll be a backup. He'll still play a lot because everybody does in that offense. But I'll be curious to see how fast he can pick it up. He needs to learn it really fast. They're going to need him to play good football. Don't forget about Squirrel, too. No one's tackled that guy yet.
He did have an impressive outing in spring practice.
He looked
great. Turns people's heads.
Yeah, he looked great.
They get started out on the practice field here in now less than a month.
Yeah,
First of August is when things get started. Starting to get close. We'll have next week, and then SEC Media Days the week after that. And then it's really going to start being crunch time. Can't wait for it. It's almost here. See where we get. In the final hour of the Eric Haynes Show coming up, we'll play a little over-under. We will also have, inside 100 days to college football, the SEC head coach rankings. CBS came out with that list. Eric, you're gonna get mad. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you.
I just don't know why people still value him so much. I don't get it.
Tell you where Josh Heupel stands. Tell you where Mike Leach stands. We'll tell you who's number three, because we know it's Nick Saban and Kirby up top. Where do the new coaches step in? Tell you about
Heupel,
all that
number
coming
three.
Up. We're live at Food City here in Clinton, Seavers Boulevard in Clinton. Come in. Sign up for the Big Ticket 2022. More of the great specials they have for you here at Food City as we return on the Eric Gaines Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.